Welcome to Pastor Matters, the podcast of the Center for Preaching and Pastoral Leadership at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We hope this conversation will both equip and encourage you to lead healthy churches that make disciples for the glory of God.
Hi, I'm Chuck Lawless.
And I'm Caleb Iverson.
And we're excited that you have joined us again for another episode of Pastor Matters.
Well, Dr. Lawless, we're getting ready for the annual meeting coming up in June in Indianapolis. I just want to ask you as we kick off this episode, what's your favorite thing about the Southern Baptist Convention? Do you have any special memories or stories specifically maybe from the annual meeting?
I'm not thinking about the annual meeting at this point, but there's another memory that's really important to me, and it dates all the way back to my first church. I think you and I have talked about this at some point. My first church in Ohio was very small, 19 people, everybody related to everybody else. They could not afford a full-time pastor by any means. They couldn't afford a part-time pastor. And I just wanted to preach. I didn't care what they paid me. But here's what they did. That little church connected with our local Baptist Association, who connected us with our state convention in Ohio, who connected us with then the Home Mission Board, now the North American Mission Board. And those four different organizations, my church, my association, my state convention, and our national domestic mission agency, combined the funds to pay me. So my very first paycheck as a Southern Baptist pastor was a paycheck that represented cooperation, what it meant to be Southern Baptist. And ever since then, the bulk of my ministry, Southern Baptists have made it possible for me to do what I do. And I have the privilege of living in what I would argue are the two areas that we are strongest in, theological education and international missions. And it means a ton to me that I get to do this, and I get to do this because we're part of a denomination. So that's my memory, and it's a great one.
Yeah. Well, I can just say as a student as well, like I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, didn't really know what all of Southern Baptist did until I came to Southeastern, and even just the benefits of being a student, you know, you already start off with a 50% tuition cut.
You do.
I mean, where else can you find that? And just the, like you said, the world-class theological education that you're able to receive, I don't know where else you can find that. So I've been really grateful.
Yeah,
that.
You are reaping the financial benefit of being a Southern Baptist student. So, well, we're excited today to talk about those issues, about denominationalism. And once again, we have as our guest, Dr. Danny Aiken, the president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, now 20 years here. Dr. Aiken, thank you for joining us again on this podcast.
Dr. Lawless, thank you so much. I really appreciate what you guys are doing, and so it's a joy to be here.
Tell us how you became a Southern Baptist.
Born into it.
Okay.
I was born into it. I was born in Atlanta, Georgia in 1957. My mom and dad were members of a Southern Baptist church. My grandparents were members of a Southern Baptist church. So I was just born into this very large family. And really up until the time I was 20, 21 years of age, I knew very little about this big family that I was born into.
So how did you learn about us? When did it become important to you?
Well, I was called into the ministry on a mission trip to an Indian reservation in Sales, Arizona. I had not walked with the Lord as a teenager, came to Christ at 10, but like many, I drifted away from the Lord during my teenage years, but the Lord really got a hold of me. You know, the Bible says the Lord disciplines those that he loves, and I've heard preachers say he's the hound of heaven who will track you down. Well, he did, and so got a hold of my life on this mission trip, called into the ministry. Really didn't have a paradigm for that, but I had no doubt God was calling me to serve him full-time for the rest of my life. So I went back home to Forest Park, Georgia, went to my pastor, and I said, God's called me to the ministry. He said, I know. I said, well, what do I do? And he says, well, you're going to need to go to seminary. I said, okay, what's a seminary? I had no idea. And he said, well, that's where you get trained to be a pastor. And I said, well, that makes sense. Well, I would later learn over the next several years, we had six of them. And I knew the name Lottie Moon and the name of Annie Armstrong, but I really did not know what the International Mission Board was. Of course, then it was the Foreign Mission Board. And I didn't know what NAM was either, and it was the Home Mission Board. So as I began my theological training, actually in a Bible college, I began to grow in my awareness of just all the things that we do. I learned that quarterly that I had in a Sunday school class came from this massive, monstrous organization in Nashville called the Sunday School Board. And and then this is about 1978, 79. The conservative resurgence kicked in 1979. And really, over the next years, I got immersed, almost drowned in the workings of the Southern Baptist Convention because of the controversy that was swirling around who is going to lead these entities and what is our theological and missiological direction going to be through these entities that all these churches, and again, I had no idea we had 30, probably back then it was probably close to 35, maybe 40, not quite yet, 1,000 churches, again, which is just mind-boggling. Of these churches working together to do these various things. Well, what's our trajectory going to be for the future? And so I learned a lot in a hurry as a result of that.
Yeah, my first convention was the Dallas Convention in 1985.
45,000+ messengers.
Yeah, I look back now and think about, I'm not sure how we did that with the technology of that day. But it was fascinating to me, all of these people in the room who didn't agree on everything by any means. I mean, we were in the throes of the controversy, and yet there was still an energy there that was exciting to me.
Yes.
Over the years, as you've been a part of who we are at Southern Baptist, what have been your greatest joys about being a part of a denomination?
Three things stand out for me, Chuck. The International Mission Board, the North American Mission Board, and the six seminaries.
Okay.
I've often said that I think that the Southern Baptist Convention sits on a three-legged stool, that if we lose any one of those, the stool will fall over and break. If you try to add another one, the stool will be out of balance. But international missions, getting the gospel to the ends of the earth, North American missions reaching now, especially the large unreached cities of our nation and Canada, and then the wonderful theological education that is provided at such an unbelievable cost. Those three things are really worth fighting for and are worth supporting. And so I really believe in all of those. Now, I'm very grateful for the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. I'm very thankful for Lifeway. I appreciate what Guidestone does. EC, I think, is about to get its act together. Thrilled that Jeff Orge accepted their invitation to become and be the next president. One of the godliest men I know, good leader, man of absolute integrity. That's a good, good thing. I know we're not perfect, but actually I love every aspect of our convention, both on the national level, the state level. Really thankful for the job that Todd Unzinger is doing here in North Carolina. And I've come to realize, and I was at fault about this back when the Great Commission resurgence took place, and I actually shared this with this committee that's kind of evaluating its success or failures. I did not see, as I should have, the value of the local association. And actually, the younger generation is rediscovering what we realized was important but kind of lost its way. Well, they're revitalizing this, just like we're also realizing the value of revitalizing churches that have millions of dollars in terms of value and would hate to see them become, like in some parts of the world, mosque or art galleries or theaters, which that's unfortunately happening all over the country in some of our fellow denominations. I don't want to see that happen. So being a part of all of that, I think, is exhilarating. It's worthy of our time and our money and our prayers and our efforts. And I believe it brings honor to our Lord Jesus. I do.
Let me add my affirmation, particularly the point about associations, because had you asked me 15 years ago the future of associations, I would have said they will be gone.
Yes.
In 15 years. And certainly we've had some state conventions that have formed their structure without associations. But even in those cases, they typically have set up a structure so there's more of a local person there to help lead. And I do think for a young generation and as the Southern Baptist Convention at the top, obviously, has been caught in controversy a little bit. I think young pastors are looking for something at a much closer level to where they serve.
My son Nathan is the executive director of the Pillar Church Planting Network, which is now approaching 500 churches. Hmm. They not only have a nationally, in some ways international, because they are beginning to have churches come into their entity from outside America, but I've been watching them form local pillar associations. Hmm. So not only do they have their annual conference here on our campus in the fall, they have meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting in various parts of the U.S. where, you know, 20, 25, 30 pillar pastors will come together for fellowship, mm-hmm. for teaching and instruction, for encouragement. And so what they're doing is just what we did, but lost sight of the value of it.
Mm. I agree. And I think with the right associational mission strategist, a right picture of what we want to accomplish, there's a future for
yes.
sure for associations.
Here at Southeastern, we believe that the Great Commission is the church's mission. That is why we are committed to ministry preparation in partnership with the local church. Through more than 40 advanced graduate and undergraduate degrees, we offer robust biblical and theological education that equips students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. Visit sebts.edu to learn more.
Well, talk to our listeners, Dr. Aiken, who may be on the fringe of the denomination, either by choice, or simply by this is all I've ever known. I am Southern Baptist, but I don't know why. Talk to us about the value of why should pastors invest in this denomination?
Well, let me say first of all, pastors ought to do their homework and not allow their opinion of the SBC to be swayed by social media.
That's good.
And those that clamor out there from a negative perspective about whatever they want to clamor about at that particular moment in time. I know some people say, well, it seems to me, you know, what I know about Southern Baptists is that you are still racist. You have been hiding and covering up sexual abuse. You don't handle well your ecclesiology. They wouldn't use that word. But things like this are what I know about the SBC. Well, the truth of the matter is we realize we have a history in terms of racism, but we've been working very hard to apologize for that and to get past that in a good, healthy way. Have we arrived? No. Have we made tremendous progress? I think so. I would say the same thing is true when it comes to the issue of sexual abuse. Did we make mistakes? Yes. Are we trying to put in place structures and education that on the front end will greatly prevent it from happening, but when it does, handle it well and properly? Yes and yes. And I don't know anyone else that's trying to get this right as hard as we're trying to get this right as well. Same thing with our issues related to ecclesiology, and in particular using the title a pastor for a woman, mm-hmm. which I don't believe is appropriate. And I think, again, you know, Al Mohler, who's not known for being weak-kneed or jelly-spined, said to me one day, you know, we never draw a straight line, but Southern Baptists almost always get it right if you give them enough time.
Mm.
And I think that's been proven to be true over time. So having said all of that, I cannot think of a international mission organization, the IMB, that I think is doing it better than we are. Again, I don't want to be arrogant. We do lots of things wrong, but we do so much well in trying to get the gospel to the ends of the earth, and in particular, unreached people groups. The North American Mission Board, the same thing. I don't know anyone that is making a greater impact in reaching North America with the gospel than the North American Mission Board. And I don't know any denomination or convention of churches that's providing the excellence in theological education at the most unbelievable cost than Southern Baptists. And so when you just realize that, I think, one, why wouldn't you want to be involved? Now you say, well, I got to worry about all of my stuff here. Well, if you want to play the Lone Ranger, go ahead. But that's going to be very difficult. And the fact of the matter is, you won't make the impact for the kingdom that you could have by partnering together. I mean, we see this in the book of Acts. And so if the early church saw the value in partnering together for the propagation of the gospel and the extension of the gospel through church planting by sending out missionaries, it's thoroughly biblical in terms of the principles and the patterns. Why wouldn't you want to be a part of that? But again, I also understand, I want to be fair to pastors. I know how much work you've got. I know how much of a burden it is just to care for your sheep. I know how financially it's difficult in many cases just to maintain what you're doing where you are. But I again would say go to an associational meeting, go to your state convention, try to find a way, especially when it's near you, to come to a national convention. Just be a part of what they're doing. I've had dozens of people, that's not an exaggeration, who've never been to an SBC. They come to the SBC and they will come away weeping over our commissioning service.
Yes.
And they will just say, I've never seen anything like that in my life. I did not know that's what we're doing. And when you had some of the people that we can't show them, we can't give you their name, because when they are deployed, they're going to a very hard, very dangerous area, and they're up there with their children. I mean, how could you not be moved to want to be a part of that? But the ones who are usually are those who haven't been connected. And I just want to encourage them, go see. Like I say, come and see what we're doing here and then make your decision. Go see what our convention of churches are doing and then make your decision.
Yeah, or at least talk to us.
Yes.
At least let's have a conversation. Give us an opportunity to say, let me tell you why this matters. We do this largely because of our cooperative program.
Correct.
Our church is giving by their choice toward the work of our Southern Baptists around the world. Talk to us about the value of that cooperative program, recognizing that for some of our pastors, giving another percentage, a higher percentage of their giving to the SBC could stretch their budget more than they're comfortable. Why should we consider doing that?
Well, on the local church end, God will honor your faith. God never does not. God always blesses our generosity, which is why I always tell people in tough situations, err on the side of generosity. God will honor that and God will bless you. They don't deserve that. Well, I didn't say they deserved it. That's a different issue. Be gracious. Err on the side of grace, just like our Heavenly Father erred. He didn't err. I use that wicked metaphor there, but erred on the side of grace in sending His Son. So we never dishonor the Lord by being gracious and generous. So that'd be the first thing I would say. Secondly, it is true. We use it as a mantra, but it is absolutely true. We can do more together than we could ever do alone. And even large megachurches, let's take one near here, Summit. Summit has more than 100 missionaries scattered around the world through the IMB. They have a massive budget. I don't know what it is now. It's somewhere $30 to $40 million. But even J.D. Greer would say, we couldn't send all these missionaries. If we were going to fund them ourselves, we could not send all these missionaries. Only can we do this in partnership with 45,000 other churches. So when you think of reaching the nations, when you think of reaching our nation, when you think of providing the necessary support of 6 Southern Baptist seminaries, the ERC, which monitors ethical issues for us, Lifeway is unfunded and so is Guidestone. But we couldn't do all of that if we did not come together and all of us do our part. Now, again, some of our churches are they bless us beyond measure with their generosity. Others ought to be a little bit ashamed of how little they give to something they say they believe in.
The first church I pastored that I mentioned as we started this podcast, when I went there, I think we were giving 1 or 2% to the cooperative program. Our folks knew nothing about what we were doing, but we began to look at the fact that other folks are helping to pay my salary, so we had to take a look at it, which was really good for us. And we were in a budget meeting discussing should we raise the CP giving. And one of my deacons said, and we could debate the issue of tithe, that's a different podcast, but one of my deacons said, you know, I believe we're supposed to tithe as individuals. We want to be a generous church. Let's take it all the way to 10% to support the work of God. And I do believe the Lord honored that. I also think, and I would say this to you as pastors who are listening, I also think if I had to do it over again, I would have done a much more intentional and I trust a better job of helping my people see all the benefits of that giving. I didn't introduce them to missionaries like I should have. I didn't tell them about theological education because I didn't know it all at the time. I firmly believe our churches will be more supportive if we as pastors would start telling the stories of the product of what we're doing.
Most of the people in our churches, number one, have no idea that we have 6 seminaries.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
If they do know that, they don't know where they are. Mm-hmm. I will preach in churches, even on the front end, saying, my name's Danny Aiken. President of Southeastern Seminary, Wake Forest, North Carolina. Afterwards, people at the back will say, now, what do you do? And where are you from? And I'm like, well, your pastor told you. Well, you know what? They didn't hear that. And, of course, you and all of us in this podcast know if there's things you really believe in, you need to emphasize those things again and again and again and again. You say, well, they'll get tired of it. No, they won't. And given in this day and age when you consider a regular church attender to be someone who comes once a month, then you can't say too many times and emphasize too many times the things you believe in and the things you want to see your church support.
Agreed. And pastors, I would also say to you, if you want to connect with people who are serving in our denomination or missionaries, both North American and international, and you're not sure how to do that, contact us through our website, through pastorcenter.org, right, Caleb?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Thank you, sir. Pastorcenter.org, and we'll help you. I assure you, we can connect you with the right people to help you bring some live missionaries, put some flesh on the giving to help your folks give even more. Dr. Aiken, there's no question the denominations across the board, not just ours, but we all face tough times, sometimes denominational strife. Why should a young pastor stay invested in a denomination when there are struggles going on?
Well, he needs to help be an agent of change. I tell our graduates at every graduation when they are going to walk the next day, if you are not going to be involved in our convention's work, you forfeit the right to be a critic. Shut up. Hmm. Now, if you're going to be involved in the work, you do have a right to criticize in a good way and make suggestions, but that means you're there. And if you're not there, then you have no influence. So what I would say is you want to see change brought about in our associations, in our state conventions, in our national convention, then you need to go. You need to be involved because you have no voice if you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can harp all you want to on social media, but that really carries no weight in actual decision making.
Mm-hmm.
Further, you can be we talked in a previous podcast about friendships. Some of the things that we do at our convention wear on me. It's just I don't like business, but we have to conduct it because we have to conduct it. But I always look forward to seeing people at the convention whom God has used throughout my years in ministry to bless me and encourage me. It's like a big family reunion.
It is.
And we all have our crazy uncles. That's all right.
That's right.
You know, they're still a part of our family.
That's right.
But such dear brothers and sisters that I just delight that I'm going to spend all of eternity with them. I look forward to seeing them when we come together as an annual convention. And so just that aspect of it is worth being involved. But then again, you see what's going on with NAM, what's going on with IMB, what's going on with our seminaries, with what all these things that, again, make me proud to be a Southern Baptist. They really do. I don't apologize to people, oh, I'm a Southern Baptist.
Sure.
No?
Sure.
I'm a Southern Baptist that loves Jesus, loves his word, loves lost people, and are giving our energy and our prayers and our efforts and our monies and all that we are to reach the nations with the gospel because we really do believe, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? It profits him nothing. Jesus said that. And if that's true, and it is, then we need to be about the business of getting that gospel to every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Mm. And Southern Baptists are at the top of the pack. They're leading the race in trying to get that done. We welcome all the other denominations that come alongside us to do that, and we certainly love working with our partners in that regard. But I pray that will be our passion and heartbeat till our Lord comes again, and that's worth being a part of. It really is.
Mm. Yeah, and you and I have done this long enough that we go to the SBC and run into students we taught.
Yes.
So far back we can't remember it.
It's pretty troubling when you run into people that are like, how was your student? And my son was your student. And now my grandson's on his way to Southeastern.
That's right.
Are you kidding me? We're now down to the grandchild level. But it actually just blesses me. Hmm. It really makes me thankful that the Lord would allow us
to
be a part of something like that.
And to continue to do that.
Yes.
Even as we work through tough issues, we still get to do what we do. Across generations.
Yes.
I have in my International Mission Board team, I have six couples that work with me. Four were my students at Southern when you were there. And so it's just the delight of my life to help them to continue to do greater things than I've ever thought about doing. And I get to do that because Southern Baptists who don't know me, who trust the way we do things, give every Sunday, and the Lord just honors that.
Absolutely.
So it's a great joy for me.
They love Jesus, and they want to see people saved, mm-hmm. and they want us to go to the ends of the earth to make that possible.
They do. They do. That's right. Dr. Hagin, we're speaking largely with a group of pastors, our listeners. We're talking about cooperation, talking about our seminaries. Talk to pastors about how they can best help what we do here as a seminary, not just our seminary, but all of our six, and what can we do together?
Well, the greatest thing they can do for us is pray for us. And one of the things that they could do is when they gather for corporate worship, they could take an entity take one a week, and they don't even have to do it every Sunday, but, you know, periodically. Today, we're going to pray for, let's pick another seminary, New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary in New Orleans. This seminary is led by wonderful President Jamie Dew. They really have a passion for the cities. They now have a growing passion for ministering to the southern border and the Caribbean and Central America, South America. They have a wonderful faculty. You might even mention some names. Let's pray specifically for this person or this person. They're one of our six. So we're going to pray for that particular seminary today, and you pray for them. Then later, a week later, 2 weeks later, a month later, we're going to pray for our North American Mission Board. Well, where is it? It's in Atlanta. Who's there? It's Kevin Ezell. What do they do? Well, we give every year to an Annie Armstrong offering, which helps us plant churches across North America, and in particular, the places where right now it's dark, the mega cities. Mm. Across America, and just do that, and you educate them, and who knows what God might even put in their hearts in terms of calling them, and so praying, and then secondly, you know, making the sacrifice to give. And one thing I would say to churches, if God in his kindness raises up young men and young women to go into ministry, and in their pilgrimage, God leads them to a seminary and a Bible college, help them financially. I get a readout every month of all the people who give to Southeastern Seminary. And, of course, I'm looking for people that have given large amounts. That's just human nature. But I'm always blessed when there's sometimes a full page of nothing but churches that are giving directly to Southeastern to fund those men and women that God raised up out of their church to come here. Now, some of those are big churches. Some of those are little churches.
They are so
thankful and proud that God called out a man, a woman, a couple from their church. They want to help them. And what a great way to be a part of God's kingdom work.
That's really good. Yeah, I think again about so many ways the Lord has blessed me through God's people over the years. My second church I pastored paid for my entire MDiv.
Wonderful.
It took me way too long to do it. It took me 8 years. I was pastoring in Ohio and drove to Louisville every Monday for 8 years. But they believed in me. They wanted to help me. Little did they know how the Lord might choose to move me from there, even after I finished my MDiv. but they made it possible for me to do what I do.
Well, sure, we're going to support this little guy named Chuck. He's going to be a vice president someday of a seminary and also at the International Mission Board. Well, why wouldn't we? Well, you know, I'm like you. We were so green.
That's right.
We were so immature. We are so raw. And yet they believed in us.
Yeah, in fact, they knew enough about me that I'm still not sure why they supported me at all. I think you would say, too, Dr. Aiken, that if pastors wanted to come visit us here at the seminary,
it's an open door.
Just come hang out with us. And I know you well enough to know that if folks have questions about Southeastern Seminary, you're open to answering those questions.
They need to come to our campus. I promise them I will buy them lunch. And I will give them as much time as they want to talk, as well as take great joy in showing them around this school that they make possible.
That's great. Thank you for being that kind of president.
It's my honor.
Anything else you would want to add? You're speaking to our pastors. Anything else you'd want to say to them, just to encourage them?
You are ground zero for the work of the Lord. And I tell people all the time, God did not ordain Southeastern Seminary, but he did ordain the local church. Mm-hmm. And if we're not serving them well, then we basically either need to change what we're doing or forfeit our existence. The local church does not forfeit its existence. Well, it could if it's not being faithful to the Lord. But you're the bride of Christ. He shed his blood for you. I am so thankful for you. You're really my heroes. And so don't grow weary in well-doing. In due time, you'll reap. It may not even be in this life, but you'll stand before the throne in heaven and God will show you this is what your faithfulness accomplished for the building of the kingdom. So just stay at it. Just stay at it. God is faithful and he will keep you in the race to the end if you keep your eyes on him.
Thank you, Dr. Aiken. Every time I have you on the podcast, we have you on the podcast, I'm even more grateful that you are our president and I get to work with you.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you again. Mm-hmm. Listeners, thank you, too, for listening to this episode of Pastor Matters.
And if you found this conversation helpful, consider leaving us a 5-star rating and review. We'd love to hear any feedback you'd be willing to give. As always, feel free to email us with any questions or feedback you have at pastorcenter@sebits.edu. As always, it's our mission at the Center for Preaching and Pastoral Leadership to equip and encourage pastors. And I hope that we've done that with today's conversation.
And as always, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain.